Welcome to Set for Life with Pastor Ray Jensen. You can find us at setforliferadio.com. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's listen from God's Word, verse by verse, on how we can prepare for the coming of the Lord Messiah Jesus, who died on the cross, so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for life if you give your heart and believe what he's done for you. You'll be set for life with your treasures stored up in heaven when you're through. You'll be set for life. You'll be set for
life. I have a roll bar on my old truck that I used to have. I had a roll bar. I could put, you know, lights and antennas and stuff up there and do my redneck thing, right? But that old rusty roll bar, it got rusted up pretty bad. I had to paint it because it got very, very rusty. Now, before I could repaint it, I had to grind all the rust off of it. Because if you don't do that, if you repaint it without grinding the rust off, the new paint is not going to stick. It's not going to apply. So you've got to grind the rust off the metal first. If you don't, corrosion is going to take over the whole thing, and it's going to make the roll bar unable to perform the work that it was intended to do. So right now we're in a holiday right at this period of time that's in the period of time of the Passover. But how many Gentiles are getting ready to say Happy Passover right now? The Gentile church doesn't really know what Passover is. People are saying Happy Easter. There is a corrosive tradition that sticks to Gentile Christians. I want to show you what Jesus said in Mark 7, verse 13. Jesus said, "You make the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down." Tradition can be nice, but tradition can also be very bad. We Gentiles should be keeping the Passover with the Jews, especially since our salvation is grafted into them, into the Jewish people. Well, the church has gotten this big rusty buildup of tradition all over it. And there's some churches have it worse than others. They got tradition on them so bad that the church's function has become totally ineffective. So I'm going to use God's word today to grind off some rust, because I first have to grind the rust off of you. The traditions that maybe some of you are carrying, I've got to grind that rust off first before I get into the truth of God's word. Because if I don't grind the rust off first, then the truth of God's word is not going to properly apply to your lives, and I want it to stick. I don't want the word of God nullified in my life. So let's grind some rust, okay? I used to do grinding rust in a fab shop, and buddy, there's a lot of other things I'd have rather been doing. It's not fun. There's friction. There is abrasion. There's things getting ground off, and it hurts. It's going to hurt hearing some of this, but I need you to hear, because I want, when I start applying the new coat of God's word, I want it to stick, okay? First off, you've got to address the main obvious problem here. Just what on earth has bunnies and eggs have to do with it? It's like we do to Christmas. We have flying reindeer and elves and this magical man that goes around the entire world. We know that's a lie, but we teach it to our kids anyway. If we're Christians, we're supposed to represent truth. We're not supposed to be liars. So bunnies and eggs, that's not in the Bible. I mean, come on, guys, really. It's like Jesus had said Easter was installed as a tradition so that it would be so dug into us that it would be hard for us to let it go. And that's why Satan loves to build lies into traditions, because once we make it a tradition, we will not let go of it. That's my tradition. Mom and Dad did that with me. I have treasured, cherished memories of doing this. I'm not letting it go. And then when a pastor like me comes up and says, "Hey, that's not in God's word, you got to let go of it," people get mad. I want you to look at what God said about the holiday called Passover, which is the time we're getting into, okay? Exodus 12 and 14 says, "So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." All right, so the Jews keep it, they're adamant about it. They're talking Passover right now. They are not talking Easter. Why are the Gentiles not keeping Passover? We should be keeping Passover even when especially since our salvation is grafted into it. Jesus, the Passover lamb, he died for our sins so that we can be saved. Now, I'm getting into the resurrection, don't worry, but he died so we can be saved. So why have we traded away the God-ordered biblical holiday of Passover for this man-made tradition with bunnies and eggs called Easter? Why did we trade that? Where did Easter come from? If you look up Easter in Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, it says, Easter is not of Christian origin. It is one of the titles of the Chaldean goddess, the Queen of Heaven. It is a Chaldean goddess. Okay, now the fallen church has adopted it into its culture, this Easter thing, and gave up the Passover feast because they hated the Jewishness of it. Churches have decided we hate the Jewishness. We're going to pick up this other thing called Easter. Actually, the goddess' name was called Ishtar. Ishtar is where we get the word Easter from. Ishtar, the goddess. So the church has been corroded with a lot of rust. So I'm going to buzz some rust and we're going to repaint today. Okay. We've gotten corroded with rust, the rust of tradition, to the point where it has lost its effectiveness in the church. Now, please understand something before we move along. I am not here to dismiss the resurrection of Christ. I'm actually here to enhance it. I'm not here to dismiss the resurrection because that's where our victory is, but I do ask you to hear me out first before you draw conclusions. Okay, now first off, we need to know something about the Lord from Isaiah 42 and 8. It says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. I want you to know something that happened right after the first Passover. The Jews challenged God on this issue. They came out of Egypt and they immediately started to give God's glory to something else. And that's in Exodus 32, verse 2. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded bunny. No, sorry, calf, different animal. And he made a molded calf, and they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Oh, whoa, wait a minute. We're making calves? Oh, but it's for the Lord. Calves, golden calves. Yeah, but it's for the Lord. Bunnies. Oh, but it's for the Lord. Y'all see the problem? You see the relation here. How could Aaron make a golden calf and somehow find a way to declare that as a feast to the Lord? Is that not crazy? Now, when you read this, you're like, Aaron, what were you thinking, man? What are you doing? Well, okay. How do we make Easter bunnies and eggs somehow and try to declare that as a celebration to the Lord also? What are we thinking? Now, don't point at Aaron. Most of the churches around here are doing this. Different animal, same problem. God said, I'm not sharing my glory with anybody else. Any rust coming off anybody yet? Hope so. Hope we got big old flex coming off right now. So that's the problem here. If it was wrong for Aaron, it's wrong for us. Also in 1 Kings 12, King Jeroboam, he's the guy that did not want God's people to go worship in Jerusalem. He was the king, not of Judah. He was the king of the rest of Israel. And everybody started going to Jerusalem. He's like, hey, everybody's leaving my half of the kingdom. I don't want them going to Jerusalem. So what he did, Jeroboam invented a new holiday to replace the worship time that the Lord commanded for his people to keep. Look at it. 1 Kings 12, 32 says, Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah. So no, y'all don't go to that when you come to mine. Come here instead. See, this is a power move. That's all it is. Now, why did they come up with Easter, Ishtar, the Chaldean goddess of fertility, the bunnies and the eggs? There's a power play by a church somewhere, and it just caught on. And we are still doing it today. Aaron, how are you? Calf, what ridiculous. Okay, where's the Easter bunny? I'm sorry, guys. It's ridiculous. And when you know it, when Jeroboam did this, he even used golden calves to initiate this new holiday. So here we go again. Calves were the ancient Egyptian symbol of fertility and life. Now, if you read the Bible, this is known as the sin of Jeroboam when he instituted a new holiday. It's called the sin of Jeroboam when he established a new tradition that was set to replace the Passover. He didn't like the Jewishness. He didn't want people leaving for that. Let's put a new one. He was replacing the Passover. Gentiles, we forgot the Passover. We need to get it back. So today we have a new holiday, and it's built in as a tradition now, and it's called Easter after Ishtar, the Chaldean goddess of fertility. And it has been timed to occur at the same time as Passover. So has it occurred to you that maybe the reason why most Gentiles don't even know what Passover is because we have allowed it to be replaced by a tradition. We allowed a command of God who says, I won't share my glory or my praise with anything else. We replaced it with something else and said, God, go take a seat. We got this new thing now. The calves symbolize fertility, but take a wild guess at what bunnies and eggs represent. Bunnies and eggs represent the same thing, fertility. That's how those came into this picture. Now, I'm sorry, we're supposed to be talking about life here, the resurrection of the dead from Jesus Christ rising up. Why did we shift it off of Jesus and say, well, life and bunnies and eggs now, fertility? It's crazy. If it was wrong for Jeroboam to use symbols of fertility, then it's also wrong for us to use symbols of fertility to replace the Passover. Now, once something becomes a tradition, it is very hard to grind off. When I was working on that roll bar, there was some rust. It didn't want to come off. And you know what I did? I just spent a little longer grinding it. It stayed right there. You're coming off. And I feel like I have to do that with the church. We're getting this out of here. Well, I don't know, Ray. My wife and my kids, we like to... You know what I'm saying? Now, Ray, I know you mean well, but that message you gave Sunday... I'm going to keep going. Tradition's hard to grind off because people do not let go of their traditions. Jesus said, as we read, you make the word of God in Mark 7:13. You make the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down. If you want to keep your tradition, that's your choice. But you're going to be wondering real quick why God's word is not playing out in your life like you think it should. Because you're blocking it. I'm trying to grind the mess off so that God's word can get in there and really play now, okay? God wants his people to hand down Passover. He said, keep it. He does not want people to pass down calves, and he does not want people to pass down bunnies or eggs. God will not share his glory with another. Am I making my case so far? I got a lot more. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. It does not say Christ, our Passover bunny. He is our Passover lamb, not the Passover bunny. He's not our Passover calf. He is not our Passover egg. He is our Passover lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus gives life, not false gods of fertility. Now, I hope you understand I'm grinding the rust, but Ray, but Easter is about Jesus' resurrection. I got one answer to that. No, it's not. Aaron said this calf is a festival to the Lord. No, it wasn't. If you read the story, God commanded the Levites to kill 3,000 people who refused to repent of that calf. They would not back off that calf. We're going to keep this calf. That's our tradition. That's what we've been taught. Mommy and daddy did that with us. We've been doing that for 400 years. We're not going to back off of them. God says, kill them. They can't stay here with you. You see what God thinks of this? We are not allowed to devise anything out of our imagination to add into what God has established or replace what God has established. And I want to give you an example of how that looks from Exodus 20:25. God says, if you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone, for if you use your tool on it, you have profaned it. if it was left up to man's own religious imagination, people would build an altar. They'd go get rocks out of the forest to build this altar, and they would start chiseling the rocks. They would make them into moons and animals and all kinds of shapes of the heavens. And, you know, they would always try to insert their religion into the altar. God ordered that the place of worship was to be pure. Whatever stones you find in the for the altar, you take those stones as you found them. You don't shape them. You don't cut them into shapes to put your religiousness into it, or else you profane it, you taint it, you dirty it up. And look what we've done to Passover. Ishtar, the Chaldean goddess, Easter, bunnies, and eggs. You almost got kids not even thinking about Jesus by the time you get done with all that. Do not replace God's holidays. Do not change God's holidays. Do not invent new holidays. And do not discredit all life and fertility away from the Lord, because life is in His hands alone. And so typically when you look at your calendar, Easter and Passover occur at the same time. Like I said, they don't exactly this year, but there has been a new holiday that the presidential administration today has established called International Transgender Day, and they decided to make it happen right on this day. International Transgender Day, and of all 365 days they could have picked, they chose to put it right today. New holiday! And we gasped at that, but we didn't gasp much at the bunnies and eggs, did we? Because we're used to it. Now, if this new one sticks, how many centuries from now will they be used to it? See what I'm saying? Typically, when Passover rolls around, there's another holiday called Easter, and that was been conveniently timed to coincide as exact at the same time as Passover, just like Jeroboam tried to do in 1 Kings 12. Here's a new holiday, same time. And the reason why that new holiday is there is to try to get us to profane our worship with God. I want you to look at Ephesians 5:11. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to expose a dark problem that has been over the church in America for a long time. And I'll guarantee you, I'm going to get knives in my back for this message today. I want to show you a passage taken from two different Bible versions. I'm going to prove to you that Easter is not in the Bible by showing you where it is in the Bible. You're like, what? I'm going to show you that Easter's not in the Bible by showing you where it is in the Bible. Okay, Ray, you got me now. Let's go. Okay, check this out. Acts 12:4 in the King James Version says this, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Okay, Easter's right there. See, I see it's right there. There's Easter, Ray. We get to do Easter. Okay, I'm going to read the same exact verse from the New King James, and there's other versions too. You look them up. Look at this same verse. Here we go again. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. That's the same exact verse from two different Bibles. One says Easter, one says Passover. Okay, I see y'all looking at it thinking, what in the world is going on here? One of them's obviously wrong. Which one is wrong? If one's wrong, which one is it? Let me tell you how to do it. You go to blueletterbible.org, and Blue Letter Bible tells you the original text. When the people authored it, what did they write? Blue Letter Bible will tell you that that original word right there is Pascha in the Greek and Pesach in Hebrew, the word for Passover. Passover. Those of you with a Bible where it says Easter, put a mark through it and write Passover. That Bible is wrong. Shocking. Big old chunks of rust just fell off today. So obviously somebody hated the Jewishness of our Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. What's the problem here? Here's the problem. Matthew 15:8, the Lord said, these people draw near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Are y'all okay out there? Y'all seem kind of shocked. You're thinking, good, that's what you ought to be doing. Okay. Guys, I want to tell you something. Easter is not a doctrine. Easter is not the resurrection. Easter is a commandment of men. Passover is a commandment of God. He said, you shall keep the Passover. Okay, so we got to differentiate Easter from Passover here. One we're supposed to keep because God said so. The other one, man tried to sneak in there, right? So where did Easter actually come from? Easter came from the Babylonian Chaldean goddess known as Ishtar. And let us not forget, it was the Babylonians or the ones that took the Israelites captive. Now, that ought to be a huge flag for you right there that the people that took them captive invented this Ishtar Easter thing. Ishtar was also the goddess of, take a wild guess, fertility, life. Now, the pagans that worshipped Ishtar, they believed that Ishtar had to spend a season down in the underworld. She had to go down in the underworld for some reason, and that's when wintertime would happen, and that's when all the plants and the vegetation died. But when the Babylonians saw that their first fruits of their crops were starting to produce again, because the plants are really taking off, they thought, oh, Ishtar must be back from the underworld. Well, look, the plants are coming back up. Ishtar's back. The goddess of life. The goddess of fertility. And when all these dead plants rose again, according to them, Ishtar raised life up from the dead. God raises from the dead. God gives life, not Ishtar. And so I want to show you where Ishtar is mentioned in the Bible. She was known as the Queen of Heaven. And there was a lot of Jews that started to worship the Queen of Heaven, Ishtar. And so God sent Jeremiah to call his people back. Stop worshiping this Ishtar goddess and worship me. He sent Jeremiah to them. And here we are in Jeremiah 7 and 18. Says, the children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead dough to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven. There's Ishtar. And they pour out drink offerings to other gods that they may provoke me to anger. Why were the Israelites sacrificing to the Queen of Heaven, Ishtar, if it made God so angry? Why were they doing this? What was the reason? We find out why and how they rejected Jeremiah's call to repentance. He says, turn back to God. You're going to find out why they were doing this and their response to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 44 and 16, it says, as for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. But we will certainly do whatever has gone out of our own mouth to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her, as we have done. We and our fathers, our kings and our princes. See, mommy and daddy used to do it. We've been doing this a long time. There's your tradition right there. See that? It's dangerous. We and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For when we had plenty of food, we were well off and saw no trouble. But since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. So look at their tradition here, guys. Hey, this is the way we've always done it. We've always done it like this. Even our kings and our princes, we've done it this way. They figured the reason why they started dying, why their people started to die and their food supply dried up, is because they stopped sacrificing to Ishtar. We better start back up with Ishtar again or we're going to keep dying. They had stopped trusting in the Lord for their provision. That's what the problem was. In America, we do the same thing. We trust in money. We don't trust in God anymore that much. Money's going to, oh, I need more money. Money's going to get me through. And we never think of God. We never pray to the Lord. Lord God, help me. I'm in a mess. Okay? They were trusting in Ishtar.
Thank you for listening to Set for Life. We hope you can join us next time, unless Jesus returns for us first. Set for Life is the radio ministry of Pastor Ray Jensen. We invite you to subscribe to our podcast at setforliferadio.com.
Hi, this is Ray Jensen. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to encourage you in God's Word. If the Bible doesn't excite you, then you're not reading it. I want you to remember that you are not worthless. You are priceless. Messiah Jesus died on the cross to redeem you so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for